You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. I hope you're doing well. Now, before we begin talking about some reasons why you shouldn't be using commercial mouthwash, I do have an announcement to make. Kate and I created a Patreon account. If you're not familiar with Patreon, Patreon is a crowdfunding website. I think that's the right term, crowdfunding, where people can help donate to support a cause, or in this case, a website. So I will put our link to our Patreon account on the show notes for this episode and for all past episodes. Also, if you go to naturopathicearth.com, where we have all of our articles and essential oil recipes and food recipes, there will be a link on the right side as well. So it'd be really great if you could donate money. The way it works is you can donate anywhere from $1 a month to $5 to $10 to $15 to $50, and we put in some rewards. So for example, if you donate $15 a month, we have a sit down or through Skype, or we go through your food, what you eat, and toxins in your house. We go through ways of we can help limit or eradicate them. So there are some rewards there. So appreciate it if you go check that out. You can find our Patreon account at www.patreon, which is P-A-T-R-E-O-N. So think of patron, but throw an E in there. patreon.com/naturopathicearth. All right, so let's talk about mouthwash. Now, mouthwash has been around for some time, and not to say that all mouthwashes are bad, but there's certain ones that do have issues, and so we're going to talk about the problems with the traditional mouthwashes. So this is going to be Listerine and Scope and all the other ones that you see in commercials. So let's get to it. All right, so let's get a little history of mouthwash and how long it's been around. Well, it's been around. I mean, there's records that indicate it's been around since ancient times, since the ancient cradles of Egypt and China. They were using it in a rudimentary form for quite some time. And back then, they mostly just used a lot of salt water rinse, which is something that you can still use today, especially if you got like a bad sore throat. But even the ancient Greeks and Romans later on, about 1,000 years later, they were also rinsing their mouth. If you know Hippocrates, which is the founder of medicine, and the Hippocratic Oath is named after him, and half of Naturopathic Earth's motto, let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. Well, let food be thy medicine is actually from Hippocrates. He said, let food be thy medicine and let medicine be thy food. Anyways, in his seminal work, he recommended using a mixture of salt, vinegar, and alum. So even back in ancient Greece, they were using it. Later on, we have records of Native Americans using it. And then you see records of it throughout the Middle Ages and through the Enlightenment. And even in the 1600s, they were doing some experiments to see if alcohol would be an effective way to clean the mouth. And so there were some studies on that. But it really wasn't until the early half of the 20th century and the early 1900s that you see the rise of the traditional commercial mouthwash. Now, before that, there always were like varieties of folk remedies around and homemade solutions that your grandmother, whoever passed down. And really, I mean, nobody liked bad breath. Like I'm reading this biography on Marie Antoinette. I'm actually reading two at the same time, reading one on Marie Antoinette, the Queen of France, who was the wife of Louis XVI. They were both guillotined in the French Revolution. And I'm also reading one on Empress Alexandra, who was the wife of Nicholas II, who was killed in the Russian Revolution. So I have this thing now with empresses who were killed in revolutions. Anyways, it's funny. I love reading monarchical biographies because they'll talk about how like these people are married off to unattractive people or an attractive man. Like, for example, princesses are married off to 50-year-old men. And so they'll talk about how the men have really bad breath. So even back then, people were conscientious about it. But going to essentially modern times, Listerine was invented. I think the gentleman is Thomas Lister. He's best known for figuring out like germ theory and realizing that alcohol could be used as an antiseptic to reduce infections after surgery and prior to surgery to kind of clean the body. But later on, through mass advertising, probably about the 1920s, 1930s, that you started to see Listerine used as a cure for bad breath, or as they call halitosis. And so the studies are showing that, and in my research, that Listerine sales actually increased like thousands percent in under 10 years. Because again, think of advertising and how it works. Their job is to make us feel insecure, right? To make us feel insecure. So you're fill in the blank, bad, or you have this issue or this problem until you take X, you know, until you use this product, now all your worries are gone. So they're all gone. So nowadays with Listerine, that was like the first major company. Now there's, you know, variety upon variety of commercial mouthwashes, all with their really cool neato colors, which will, of course will be one of the reasons why you should be shirking a modern day mouthwash. So let's actually cover some of them right now. All right, the first reason you should avoid commercial mouthwash is, well, I mean, first of all, it's not a substitution for brushing and flossing. And I think most of you guys know this, but there are people who are like, oh, I don't have time to brush my teeth, or I don't want to floss, so I'm just going to, you know, swish some mouthwash around. Oh, see, I'm good. Who needs a brush? Brushing is overrated. That's big tooth parts, big toothpaste and big floss that's telling you to do that. So I'll just take mouthwash. Not thinking that maybe big mouthwash is telling you to use mouthwash. But look, here's the issue. When you use mouthwash in general, it's very, very strong, but it doesn't do a really good job of removing all the dirt and grime that's kind of attached to your teeth, all the plaque. And using it is not going to cure your gingivitis if you have gingivitis or gum disease, periodontal disease, or anything like that. It's just not. So this is eliminate number one. The number one is very easy. Mouthwash isn't a substitute for brushing and flossing. And if you do use it as a substitute for brushing and flossing, you're not only going to have the problems that we're going to talk about in a second, but you're going to have really bad oral health. All right, the second reason you should avoid commercial mouthwash is that it destroys your microbiome in your mouth. We have talked about this in previous episodes dealing with the microbiome and probiotics, is that there are more bacteria in our mouth than there are people in the world. And the majority of them, even in your mouth, because we've talked about the microbiome on our skin and how a lot of lotions and all the chemicals in lotions destroy that. And we've also talked about even with the vagina, how douching, for example, and putting things in there that shouldn't be in there, destroy the microbiome, and then you're more likely to get a yeast infection. And we've talked about the intestines as well. But the mouth is a little kingdom on its own, and there's good bacteria, of course, and there's bad bacteria. So when you swish alcohol-based commercial mouthwash, when I say commercial mouthwash, the assumption is it has alcohol, because almost all the commercial ones have alcohol in them. So when you swish it around, it's going to kill some of your bad pathogenic bacteria, but it actually kills more of your probiotic bacteria. And that is the problem. And so you kill the bad ones, or you kill the bad ones less than you kill the good ones. So then the bad ones have more of a playground, so to speak, to wreak havoc. And that is a problem. So again, the alcohol is not good because it's killing your microbiome in your mouth, and only the good die young, as Billy Joel said in one of his songs. It seems like our probiotic bacteria, both in our gut, and when you look at antibiotics in general, they tend to kill more of the probiotic bacteria than they do the pathogenic bacteria, and therefore you have this issue and this rebound effect. All right, the third reason why you should avoid commercial mouthwash is that it causes your mouth to actually get drier. So if you suffer from dry mouth or ulcers in your mouth, because some people get those ulcers, and sometimes we like bite our tongues when we're eating and it causes a little cut. But a lot of people, not a lot of people, but there are people who have ulcers or open lesions in their mouth. So by using an alcohol-based mouthwash, it makes these problems worse because typically these mouthwashes dry out the tissue in the mouth. And as the alcohol evaporates, it causes more dry mouth and more irritating sores. And this is actually connected to worse breath. So a lot of us think that by taking mouthwash, it's going to eradicate bad breath or halitosis. But it does for a second. So like we used to use the Benaca sprays back in the day before we kiss somebody. So like if you're about to kiss somebody, if you use the mouthwash and then you breathe on them, your breath's going to smell good. But in the long run, it's not going to make your halitosis go away. And there's a host of reasons for this. One of the reasons is that your bacteria is all on the back of your tongue. So unless you're tongue scraping, it's hard to get it off. And then there's other reasons why you could have bad breath. You could have a lot of stomach acid coming up the throat and other reasons. But my point is this. With mouthwash, it makes your mouth dry. And so what it does is it kind of burns off the protective mucus and the saliva in the mouth. And that leads to this vicious cycle where your teeth build up plaque more easily and they decay faster and they cause the bad breath, leading you to use more mouthwash because you have worse breath, which just makes the problem worse. So it's like a really bad cycle or a feedback loop. So it dries out your mouth, which leads to a host of problems. All right, the fourth reason why you should avoid commercial mouthwashes is let's actually look at the ingredients in there. Now, I know you know that I'm going to bring up a certain ingredient that's in there in a second, but one of the things is that Scope and Listerine, they put in stabilizers, just like preservatives, right? Like we put in food. And a lot of these are very acidic in nature. And so what happens is these acids that they put in the mouthwash to prolong the shelf life of the mouthwash are really bad for your teeth. And they end up eating away or eroding your tooth enamel, weakening your teeth, and then making them more susceptible to decay later on. All right, so if you look at the ingredients of, let's say, Scope, I'm looking at the ingredients of Scope. The active ingredients are cetylpyridinine chloride, domethan bromide, and denatured alcohol. So those first two are acids. Those first two are acids. And again, you know, the old saying is if you can't pronounce the ingredient in something, perhaps you shouldn't be eating it. So watch out for these acids. All right, another reason why we don't want to be using conventional mouthwash is that a lot of them have chlorhexidine. Now, chlorhexidine is a chemical that's believed to be the cause of increased blood pressure associated with mouthwash use. According to a study published in the journal Free Radical Biology and Medicine, using mouthwashes twice a day can increase your blood pressure and lead to serious heart conditions. One of the reasons, and this goes back to our microbiome in our mouth, is that chlorhexidine kills the good bacteria in the body that's responsible for relaxing the blood vessels. And if I haven't mentioned in previous podcasts, there's a very intimate connection between oral health and heart health. And so if you have a very inclimate or inhospitable oral health, you have a higher rate of having heart disease and plaque buildup and endocarditis and pericarditis and all these issues with the heart. And so we do want to make a concerted effort to keep our mouth. All right, another reason you want to avoid conventional mouthwash is that many of them have a chemical called methyl salicylate. Now, methyl salicylate is typically put in mouthwashes to kind of serve as a rubefacient or a flavoring agent, or brings a certain like smell to it. It blocks odors. But the problem with it is that in its pure state, methyl salicylate is very toxic, especially when you take it internally. Just one teaspoon of it contains about roughly 7 grams of salicylate, which is the equivalent of over 23 300 milligram aspirin tablets. Aspirin tablets. And the smallest lethal dose for an adult is 101 milligrams per kilogram of body weight. So methyl salicylate has been proved fatal for small children on occasion with doses as small as 4 milliliters. 4 milliliters. And here, you're doing the equivalent of 7 grams. So There was even a case over in New York where an athlete, a 17-year-old athlete, died after her body absorbed fatal levels of methylsalicylate through her skin after using a muscle pain reliever like a Bengay. So it's problematic. And we know aspirin is good because it's a blood thinner, but it is problematic in that it can tax the body and cause toxicity. So there is a chemical that kind of mimics aspirin in this methylsalicylate. All right, another reason is that some of these mouthwashes have another chemical called benzalkonium chloride, also known as alkyl dimethyl benzaloammonium chloride, or ADBAC, or ADBAC. Now, benzalkonium chloride is used in a lot of other places, actually used as a microbial corrosive inhibitor in oil fields, and it's a disinfectant in mouthwash. So the studies showing this is that it's potentially allergenic or hypoallergenic and causes allergies. And there's already been studies in its use in contact lens solution, and some studies have shown that it causes irreversible eye damage when you have a puncture in your corneal epithelium or the corneal lining and some of this fluid gets in your eyeball. Also, it's very toxic to fish and aquatic invertebrate, and a solution of 10% or more is toxic to humans, causing irritation in the skin and mucosa and death even if taken internally. So again, there's a small amount of this benzalkonium chloride in mouthwash, but it's another reason to be concerned about industrial ones. All right, another chemical that you typically find in El Scope is cetylpyridium chloride. Cetylpyridium chloride. Now, this is typically put in mouthwashes because ostensibly it helps prevent the formation of plaque, and it's thought to be good at preventing gingivitis, right? 3 out of 4 dentists want you to, you know, floss so you don't, or use Colgate toothpaste to prevent gingivitis. Now, the problem is with cetylpyridium chloride is that it's a tooth stainer. And we know like tea and coffee stain our teeth because of the tannins, but this chemical stains our teeth. It has an unpleasant taste. It adversely affects the taste of your food afterwards, and it causes sensitivity, irritation, and pain on the tongue due to its high alcohol content. And there was even a study in 1998 showing that probably cetylpyridium chloride is actually not even effective in preventing plaque buildup. But they keep it in the mouthwash. All right, now we're going to get to some of the tried and trues. A lot of mouthwashes have parabens, our favorite parabens. And we know, especially if you're a lady, you're getting parabens in your cosmetics. And by the way, I did put a link on the article, I believe, on whether or not aluminum or deodorant causes breast cancer. There is a link for some paraben-free cosmetics, so you can find them online, like, for example, on Amazon, if not at your local Dillard's. But paraben, as we know, is a preservative that's put in a lot of lotions and creams and on makeup, and it's also used on occasion in your mouthwash. And we know the problems with paraben are mostly related to it being an endocrine disruptor, and in particular its connection to lady cancers and shrinking the testicles. So this is a problem. And if you want more information on parabens, by all means go to the website, because I do have some previous episodes and articles on the parabens. All right, another reason you want to avoid these mouthwashes is that, of course, they have food dyes. They have chemical dyes in them to make them those really cool radioactive greens and blues and those tinged reds. It's the same dyes that make Gatorade all these same colors, all these radioactive colors, and Fanta and Squirt and all these other drinks. So they put them in there just to give it an added zest. Because, you know, these mouthwashes will have flavors, right? Spearmint, peppermint. It's not like they're chopping up spearmint and putting in the mouthwash. So what they do is they come up with the food dye color they want to make it look like they want to make it. And then they're going to put in the artificial flavors to make it mimic the taste of spearmint or cinnamon or whatever the mouthwash is. So food dyes, we know, are connected to hyperactivity, at that, for sure, bladder tumor, bladder cancers, allergies and other issues. So we know the problem with food dyes. Go back to MP episodes on the clean eating pantry where we go over a lot of those things. All right, I do want to briefly mention the alcohol and mouthwashes correlation to throat cancer. Now, this is controversial, and you will find studies going either way on this. So, of course, I'm going to mention some of the studies that show that the alcohol and mouthwash does perhaps increase the risk of getting esophageal and oral cancer. So there was a study that came out of the Dental Journal of Australia, and they concluded that alcohol-containing mouthwashes contribute to the increased risk of development of oral cancer. And there are some studies showing that swishing your mouth even twice a day increases your chances of getting oral and esophageal cancer by quite a lot. Now, we know that alcohol is bad for us. It's one of the main carcinogens, is drinking ethanol, drinking vodka, wine, whatever, drinking alcohol. So the problem with these studies is that a lot of people who use mouthwash in general don't take care of their teeth. And then typically people who don't take care of their teeth typically have a lot of typicals, typically have a higher rate of smoking and a higher rate of drinking alcohol and a higher rate of eating processed foods. So in other words, they have a very poor lifestyle. So it's hard to differentiate whether or not the alcohol and mouthwash is increasing their chances of getting the oral cancer, or is that in concomitant or coupled with the smoking and the alcohol drinking and the poor eating. So it's difficult to say, but the studies are out there either way that we know drinking alcohol is absolutely pernicious to your health. But the studies go mixed on whether or not the alcohol that you swish for 20 seconds in your scope is causing you to have an increased chance of getting throat cancer and mouth cancer. All right, so these are just some chemicals that are in mouthwashes. For sure you know about food dyes, and for sure you know about the artificial flavors, but some of these other chemicals you might not be too familiar with. So let's cover some like natural ways we can keep our mouth clean so we can avoid using mouthwashes. Okay, so number one, there are products online and at your grocery stores that don't have these chemicals. I guess we can call them organic mouthwash. They're not going to have alcohol. They're not going to have food dyes. They're not going to have parabens. They're not going to have all these other chemicals that I've already mentioned, these acids and so forth. So that is one option. If you've already had kind of are in that habitual state of using mouthwash because you've been using mouthwash for so many years, you can go down that road of continuing to use mouthwash, but just try to find the quote unquote organic ones. Another option that you can do along with using the organic mouthwash is pulling, oil pulling. We've talked about oil pulling before. The most common way we pull is using coconut oil, but some people do sesame oil, olive oil. And the studies, I mean, there's not a lot of very hard studies. It's more of kind of like folkloric, anecdotal, home remedy, naturopathic kind of outcomes that are coming out of this. But the belief is that, for example, coconut oil is a way that we can clean the mouth and whiten our teeth. And also, it doesn't disrupt the microbiome in our mouth in a negative way. So it actually keeps the pathogenic bacteria down, and it promotes our probiotic bacteria's health. So the way you pull, and I've been pulling daily probably about 2 years, is I get like a big tablespoon or maybe a teaspoon, or I just use my fingers if I'm in a hurry, and I get a teaspoon of coconut oil at room temperature, so it's going to be kind of hard, and you just put it in your mouth. At the beginning, it's going to taste a little strange, but you don't swallow this, and then you just let it melt in your mouth, and eventually it becomes like a liquid. It's almost like saliva, and so you just swish it around while you're getting ready in the morning or doing whatever you're going to do, and then after, 5 to 20 minutes, depending on how long you want to oil pull, then you spit it out, and then you just rinse your mouth with water. And so that is a natural mouthwash. That is a natural option. So definitely try out, because it is innocuous to do and it might be effective. And as I mentioned, it is a natural way to whiten your teeth and to keep your mouth clean. Another thing you can do is just swish saliva on your own or use xylitol-based gum. I had mentioned in the previous NP radio article or episode on chewing gum, which was only about 3 or 4 episodes previously, that xylitol, a sweetener that is found in a lot of gums, is actually shown to be good in reducing gingivitis and reducing plaque buildup in itself, the actual sweetener. And so now xylitol is actually found in Trident and a lot of the commercial gums, but the problem is those gums still have aspartame, and xylitol is the final ingredient. So I would recommend that you do find xylitol-based gum that only has xylitol as its sweetener and chew that. Or the other option is, the whole reason we chew gum in the first place is to stimulate saliva production, because saliva is a natural mouthwash. It's like the body's mouthwash, God's mouthwash. And so the only reason we really chew gum is not for the fake chemicals that make it our breath smell like spearmint or whatever. It's that chewing gum stimulates saliva. So you don't need gum to stimulate saliva. You can stimulate saliva right now. You can make your own saliva and just swish it throughout the day. So that's another option that you have. All right, the last thing I do want to mention is that you can make your own homemade mouthwashes. We do have an article that we wrote not that long ago on making your own homemade mouthwash. And it doesn't really require a lot of ingredients. Many of these you already have. And of course, you can find a host of recipes online that are natural ones, but I'll mention the one that we had that I wrote back in July of this month. And so what you can do is you can get some sort of alcohol, let's say like brandy or rum or vodka, whatever, and that's going to work as an antiseptic. And then you just mix in drops of essential oils, if you have essential oils. The ones that I recommended in the article that I wrote, the recipe was thyme, peppermint, fennel, and clove. Now, thyme, peppermint, fennel, and clove. Now, by all means, you don't have to use any of those or all of those, but you use some brandy, and then you swish in the essential oils, and then you just swish it around, and you spit it out. Now, of course, brandy does have alcohol, and this is going back to what I had talked about with the studies being kind of up in the air about whether or not just swishing alcohol increases your chances of getting throat cancer, but at least this recipe doesn't have all the other aforementioned toxic chemicals. You can use one that has baking soda, for example. You can even do one that's got peroxide, and then of course you can mix in some xylitol if you want it sweet along with the essential oil. So there's a host of ways you can do it that are natural, and so it's really up to you. Now, I personally don't use mouthwash. I pull in the morning, and then I brush my teeth, and then throughout the day at school, I honestly don't do anything to my mouth. I don't chew gum, though I do have xylitol-based gum at school, and I show it to the kids. And then, of course, I come home, and I brush my teeth at night. I'm not a big fan of mouthwash, and I really haven't used mouthwash in the last 25 years. That being said, if you like mouthwash and you like the way it feels, then, as I mentioned, I exhort you to use these recipes and make your own, because also, not to mention, it's cheaper, because the scope and all these can be expensive. But more importantly, we're looking out for overall holistic health, and not just the health of the whole body, but of course the health of our mouth. The last thing I do want to mention is that if you can donate money to our Patreon account, either through the link that's in the show notes of this episode, or you can go to our website, Naturopathic Earth, and we've just put in a Patreon account. If you'd like to donate $1, $5, $10, $15, or $50 a month to help support the podcast and the website, it would be greatly appreciated. If not, I understand completely, but if you could, post a review for NP Radio or post a review for Kate's Apothecary or Confessions of an Obese Child. It would only take you a minute, and we would greatly appreciate it. I'd put an apple on your desk, like the teachers of old used to get from their students who were very grateful for them. So until next time, guys, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.